Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cult Classic Podcast. Cameron Jones here, along with my co-host,
Mark Nussel.
Jordan Jones.
We're just doing a banger today. We just wanted to hit some huge movies we haven't gotten to yet. Again, feel free sending those requests to cultclassicspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love seeing what you guys have out there, but we wanted to do the 1995 film, Apollo 13. In 1970, with the public losing interest in the space program, the world was brought together by a harrowing rescue mission trying to get three astronauts facing insurmountable peril home. Witness the true story of NASA's successful failure, improvising an unconventional flight plan in order to get three men home. Apollo 13.
Directed by Ron Howard, starring Tom Hanks, Bill Paxton, Kevin Bacon, Gary Sinise, Ed Harris, and Kathleen Quinlan.
It's easily top four, maybe number one, base, NASA, and the way it looks as depicted in movies, right? Outside of 2001 Space Odyssey.
Apollo 13 is just a great historical movie that's held the test of time special effects-wise that, I mean, it's just a classic. Ron Howard's Apollo 13.
Okay, cast and crew. Apollo 13, 1995, directed by Ron Howard, also did, Cameron, I think, one of your favorite movies, Cinderella Man.
That's true. That is one of my favorite movies. You'll, of course, know him as Richie Cunningham from Happy Days. Jordan, do you know where we're at in his, like, directing career here, though? Or, like, I mean, how long had it been from acting?
Well, I mean, it's been a while since acting. True. I don't think he acted too much
this
further
This was his
than...
first best one, I think.
Yeah, I'd maybe say
right?
that.
I mean, he broke out with Splash, obviously. He did Parenthood, which was like a family drama, which I think we quite like.
That's
he
a cult classic. Splash. That, yeah. That's a cult classic that I think we've done Parenthood, haven't we? Go back and check that out.
I don't actually think we have. We've talked about it a bunch. But this is obviously, you know, leaps and bounds to a complete auteur filmmaker.
One of Cameron's faves, Cinderella Man, and one of Jordan's faves, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
I forgot he did that one, yeah.
I'm pretty big on the record
Very divisive. Yeah. No, I know. And actually, I'm on the record. I think
I enjoy it. I'm not here to hate.
I'm in the minority. I think it's like 49 on Rotten Tomatoes or some shit like that.
It's a weird generational split, Jordan. You're like 2 years off from liking it because everyone our age seems to love it and like anyone younger. I don't know why. I like it.
So I do got to put a shout out though for Backdraft 1991. Just
did
a
he
few
do that
years before that? Yeah. So I think
that
was
the
his
firefighter movie.
Sure is.
you bet your ass. That's my brother. In fact, Cameron and I probably may have put it on one of our brothers' lists. You know, that one doesn't make me feel like a bad brother. Okay. I think those guys are bad brothers, but you know, that's my brother.
Like, what's his after this? What's his next best? Like Frost Nixon? Like what?
Beautiful Mind, probably.
Yeah, I mean,
I would guess as people consider. Secretly, I kind of like Rush, the 2013 movie, the race car movie. I think that's a good movie. I think what you'll find with him right now, we're obviously in a sweet spot for him as a director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but kind of comparison to like a Spielberg, even when the movie's not a big hit. Like Rush, like people probably don't remember it. If you go back and watch it, like, oh, that's a really well made movie. It's got great costume design, editing, lighting, and acting. You know, I just didn't see it or I forgot about it.
And I always have kind of thought of like Spielberg and Ron Howard as like contemporary kind of similar directors. Like, I don't know. They always come.
Like they make like big budget blockbuster movies are really good. I get that.
They always deliver. Like you said, even if they're not the best, they deliver.
Cocoon was his breakout. Splash, Parenthood. I think Backdraft allowed him to be a big blockbuster budget movie.
Music by James Horner. And he does pretty much everything.
That's a familiar name from.
He did Titanic. He did Deep Impact. He did Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. I mean, he does anything from music videos to big blockbuster movies. So James Horner, a name we should know.
Someday we'll do Deep Impact. We tried like three times, but just never ended up recording it. We'll get to it. We did Armageddon. Check that.
Onto the cast. So there's so much just because of the...
Yeah, it's NASA.
Mission Control. There's so many characters there. I'm not going to touch on a lot of that, but just starring Tom Hanks is Jim Lovell, Bill Paxton, Fred Hayes, Kevin Bacon plays Jack Swaggart, Gary Sinise plays Ken Mattingly, and Ed Harris plays Gene Kranz, sort of the flight control room director. A couple other notable ones, though, I'll say Kathleen Quinlan plays Marilyn Lovell.
What else do I know her from? Give me a...
I thought I knew her from more because she had such a familiar face, but...
It's just iconic movies from your childhood, like one or two.
I looked it up. I did not recognize her from...
I couldn't pull her from anything else.
And a lot of these characters we've touched on before, so make sure you go back and check out some previous episodes. Yeah, but
sure. Blanche Lovell is Ron Howard's dad. Gene Spiegelhauer. Funny enough, I didn't recognize her from anything, but she's Mrs. Claus in Scrooged.
Sure is.
For some reason,
I knew that. Go back and see that
episode. I recognized a Chris Ellis in here. He plays Deke Slayton, sort of the NASA, press director or something. I don't know what you'd call him, but obviously Armageddon, Transformers, October Sky. He actually plays a lot of...
That kind
space
of character,
movie.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of space movies, to be honest. Catch Me If You Can. He's like one of the FBI directors. Xander Berkeley.
Cool name.
He's the inside guy in Air Force One. The one who like...
Oh, yeah.
Some people just have that military look.
Yeah.
And sneaky.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Oh, Clint Howard, Ron's brother.
Gotta mention him.
It's tough to miss.
Yeah.
He jumps off the screen for sure.
He is such a distinct face.
He's got that Clint Howard look for sure.
And he almost plays the exact same role. He's the radar operator in Austin Powers 1 and 2.
Are those Ron Howard movies?
No, those ones aren't.
Okay, just checking. Usually, I mean, if you see Clint Howard, there's a chance Ron Howard's attached to it. I mean, obviously, Kevin Bacon, go back and see our Friday the 13th, and I don't know what else we've done. Someday we'll do Stir of Echoes, because I sure talk about it a lot. I don't know how many, Bill Paxton.
We did, what else we did? We did Tremors.
Tremors, yeah, go back and see Tremors. That was an old one. I don't even know if it's up anymore.
Oh, so there is another actor, Mary Hayes, the wife of Paxton, mm-hmm. In the movie. The actress is Tracy Reiner. She's Betty Spaghetti from A League of Their Own, which I believe we did a
lot. Oh,
really? She's kind of teamed up with Tom Hanks a lot. She was in A League of Their Own. She was in some part of Big, which I don't remember from that, but she was also in That Thing You Do. So she's been in like four movies we've done.
Bill Paxton, Titanic. I don't know if we've done a lot of other Bill Paxton movies other than that.
Twister? Did we do Twister? Twister.
We have.
Oh, yeah. We've done Twister. Ed Harris.
We did the biggest one, Cameron.
Truman Show.
True of most movies, though, the talent from top to bottom, including all the Howards, Clint and the dad and the mom. It's deep in this movie, and when you have that much talent in every small role, it really jumps off the screen, don't you think?
Yeah.
But this is a deep cast.
And again, every character is like a major actor, like Jordan saying, and we've touched on him in so many different episodes, so we didn't delve in as much today, but make sure you go back and check out the catalog for when these...
You know who Tom Hanks is.
Yeah. Oh,
you know
Ron Howard obviously directed Willow as well. I should say that for our family, otherwise. Right, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. I believe that's correct. Yeah, that's fine. We can move it on for now. Let's move it on to Unverified. Welcome to the Cult Classic Movie Phone. It's July 30th, 1995, and currently in theaters you could have seen Disney's Pocahontas.
Oh, wow.
Do you want to know a fun fact I heard about that through something? It was somebody who was working on The Lion King. Mm-hmm. They made Disney's Pocahontas and The Lion King at the same time, like the production. Mm-hmm. And all the marketing and money was put into Pocahontas. That was Team A at Disney for animators. And they're like, okay, and then the rest of you will work on Lion King. And then Lion King ended up being the biggest movie ever from them, you know.
Interesting.
Pocahontas.
Batman Forever with Val Kilmer and Chris O'Donnell, a movie we'll get to eventually.
Yeah, probably.
Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
We will not get to that one.
Probably not.
We won't. Never.
Fluke with Matthew Modine.
That's the dog movie.
It's a dog movie.
Very,
yeah.
Very sad. It's sad. It's a sad.
Don't movie. Recollect it, but
I guess we don't need the spoiler alert. Right?
Don't recollect you know? It. Don't recommend it.
Ernest Slam Dunk. Unfamiliar with that one, but I'm unfamiliar with most Ernest.
Just pretty much scared. Whatever the Halloween one is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Congo with Laura Linney. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie.
With the goo, like the purple goo?
I believe so, yeah, because it's the first movie. And finally, Canadian Bacon with John Candy.
That movie rocked.
John Candy's last movie,
I believe so. At least we've said that a lot. But you chose Apollo 13.
You didn't choose wrong at all.
I think I chose the Power Rangers.
Probably at the time, yeah. We were 95.
At the time, I think I did.
I'm sure that's what I wanted to choose, but I definitely saw this
ooze. That's what it was. It wasn't goo. It was ooze.
I know for a fact we saw Batman Forever in theaters together. So that's
what that's probably the one I would have chosen at the time for sure. Yeah.
Jordan, what's the budget on this one?
Oh, geez, I was so ready for all the fucking space facts we had to talk about here that I have not even looked you up because I'm like this one.
Are
has
we doing
facts,
space facts and unverified?
You know, it's hard not to.
I should have looked up more space facts.
More space facts than we're used to for sure.
Sure.
Well, more like shooting space facts. But just give me one second. This is totally gonna throw you for a loop. Mm-hmm. What do you think the budget on this
one? I have no idea. Just giving numbers, especially for back then.
But based off of other big budget movies that we've done, you know, just. Take a guess.
200 million.
90 million.
52 million.
Yeah, it's very low.
What?
Are you kidding me? Doesn't that seem crazy low?
Yeah.
That's low.
But it did make some money, though. It made $355 million at the box office. So
not too investment. Shabby. Not too shabby.
Wow.
They knew what they were doing. I'm shocked that it was only 50 million.
So the reason this movie stands up, though, is the vomit comet. The fact that a lot of it is practical effects that they were just in zero gravity. They flew between 612 arcs, and each arc is about 20 seconds of weightlessness. So the plane is just going up and down, and on the down, they have weightlessness for 20-second shots at a time. And they did 612 of those.
That's the only way to pull it off, right? That's the only, besides CGI, that's the only way to pull that off, right?
Pretty much, yeah. They have 54 minutes of footage in weightlessness in this environment from the Vomit Comet, which is a good chunk of time to be just...
It sounds like Hanks and Bill Paxton and Kevin Bacon, they're all fine with it. But like the camera crew...
I'm sure
a couple of them,
which would suck.
They were the ones who were like, "Oh, fuck this!" They puked and all that.
Knowing that fact going in, did you guys look at it and be like, "Man, is every take really only 26 seconds?" And it's hard to tell. You really can't figure it out. But
I was kind of watching them, like, "Damn, that's a long take for them." Just to like, they were all smiling. The actors were all smiling.
Well, it's also like kind of quick cuts too. You don't have more than a few seconds if you notice it. And it pieces together a long segment, but you kind of tell
not
a little bit.
Not that short though. Like
20 seconds is what you get. I mean, really, we only have heavy CGI in like the takeoff scene and then also the thrusters in space, I would say. Otherwise, it's all.
I would say anytime you see the spacecraft from the exterior, that's when we do most of our CGI. And it does age itself a little bit, but not too bad. However, if you're wondering, does Jim Lovell think it's the best thing ever? He's like, yeah, this is it. Jim Lovell seems to have nothing but glowing reviews for...
Yeah,
awesome.
Actual Jim Lovell. Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, but that's like saying that whoever they based Saving Private Ryan are like real good, but then all the Pearl Harbor people are like, I don't like the way you guys showed it. You know, like they nailed it. So it's like, yeah, this is pretty fucking sweet. You guys really nailed it. That's what it was like up there.
That's right.
Tom Hanks, this was his first actual non-fictional character portraying someone. And Marilyn Lovell said that Tom Hanks exactly portrayed Jim Lovell's mannerisms and style of movement. So.
Are you trying to tell me Forrest Gump is not a real person?
It's based on a book, I believe, at least. So I'm take that as you will. Jim Lovell is in the movie. It's at the end when they land at like they pick him out of the water. Ron Howard asked him if he'd like to be the ship's admiral, and Lovell agreed, but he pointed out, I retired as a captain, and a captain I shall be. So he's only in a captain's uniform on the deck as the admiral.
When I read that fact, I'm like, cool, but a little annoying, Jim.
Yeah, we'd really need an admiral for this scene, Jim. So
it's just not believable, but that's
type of movie, though, that like you get those cameos, right? You get the...
Yeah, for sure.
From what I can tell, though, in all the movies over the years, they seem to love coming in to have their one line about space. I've been to space.
Yeah, of course. Like, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
So what's interesting about this... Oh, to go back to the how they shot the movie, I read that... Ron Howard was really concerned how he was going to depict space. And the suggestion to do the rocket comet to actually shoot in zero gravity was a suggestion from Steven Spielberg. How about that? How about them, Apple?
Well, it seems like they have a working relationship and like, yeah. So, I mean,
yeah, but also like, cool, make this really difficult. Nice suggestion, Steve. Thanks.
On that though, Jim Lovell said when he saw the space scenes and some of the CGI, he found it so convincing that he thought they had uncovered NASA footage that he hadn't seen before. He thought it was that believable.
The launch sequence is very stunning.
It's good.
It's really good.
For 95, it's great.
It's very good.
I would say out of any movie, and this is getting into like questions, comments, the CGI, and they use like large parts like the scene, you know, the launch scene. It holds up amazingly.
Yeah, it really does. 100%, yeah.
For given that it's that old. So what's interesting about this movie, it's based off facts. They depicted everything so well. But what was awesome is that all the communication between the spacecraft and mission control, because NASA had to take such accurate records during this time, most of it's like a straight transcript of what they said from mission control. All the communication from the astronauts to mission control, aside from one big switch that they did. Do you guys know it?
Yeah, it's the Houston, we have a problem.
It's Houston, we had a problem, right?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah.
It starts with Jack Swigert said, okay, Houston, we've had a problem here, but it was crackly. So the clear one that we've heard is Jim Houston.
And then
saying,
Jim Lovell repeated it, right?
Yeah, he just said, Houston, we've had a problem. But, you know,
And Ron Howard, to make it more dramatic, switched it to we've had.
Did you guys know that, Apollo 13, that's where that came from? I didn't.
I saw this movie young enough that, like, yeah, oh, yeah, I think sure. I think somehow just like, so yeah. I guess it was in there.
That's fair. Hand up, I did not. So.
Now, one thing I wondered is it famous from this movie, or were people saying, Houston, we've had a problem before that? I actually think it derives from the movie.
That would make sense because, I mean, one, they changed the quote, but I'm sure, I mean, it is still kind of famous audio, but again, Ron Howard wanted to change it just to keep the intensity going. We've had sounds like it had passed. We have is, of course, you know, something they have to work on.
Right, right. That makes sense.
This is kind of interesting. To help with some of the exposition, Ron Howard actually had Walter Cronkite record new audio for some of the newscasts just to help the story move along. But that's kind of cool that it still was like...
I thought that was cool. Yeah. It really did add to it. I mean...
I got a NASA... Now I got a space fact for you. You know when Tom Hanks says, I wonder where Gunther went in that one scene? Mm-hmm. So this was actually a NASA thing that was made popular by the Apollo 7 crew. Gunther Wendt was NASA's pad leader during the program. So he was the last person that the crew would see before liftoff, like shutting the gate and his face would be in the window. So who was it?
That's when he looks up, right? He's like...
Yeah. So Commander Wally Schirra claims to have stolen the line and made it famous among crew members. So all those Apollo people before blastoff, they'd say, I wonder where Gunther Wendt. That's all. That's just a real NASA thing.
To go on to NASA facts. So I did wonder this, and I still will talk about this in QCA. Mm-hmm. But Kevin Bacon's character, Jack Swigert, is depicted as this kind of...
young playboy kind of guy.
Behind the ear playboy. And by all accounts, everybody's like, no, he was a pro's pro, and we didn't worry about it all, and he could fly the plane, and he knew all the procedures, and there was no worry in replacing him so close to mission control.
I mean, I believe, or maybe it's Gary Sinise, I feel like there's pretty close resemblance to a lot of them, but I think that Gary Sinise's character is slightly older and bald in real life and not at all Gary Sinise, but the rest are close.
Funny enough, my dad just met Gary Sinise at a conference like 2 days ago. Like literally met Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise's character, even though he did play a big role as depicted in the movie, it turns out that there was many different astronauts working on this procedures. Plus NASA themselves already had like 12 procedures for this type of scenario. They were just kind of running through the motion. So they did dramatize it for the movie, which put a lot on his character. They obviously did take a dramatical license with some of the movie, albeit it was very accurate, except for some of the things we mentioned.
Mm. I have a money thing for you, Jordan. You said it was $52 million total.
Oh, he's budget, about to fact. Yeah. He's about to fact check you right. Well, no,
Wikipedia.
He's about to fact check you right now.
No, I'm just saying, get your calculators out because it says here that each spacesuit costs $30,000 each. So we have like what, four astronauts that we're mostly seeing.
Wait, in the movie or like that's like
I'm guessing they're saying in real life the spacesuits. Like, why would they make $30,000 costumes?
Jordan, it's a great movie
on that budget line
because it's a great movie.
All right, so you're gonna have to let us know in the comment section. I'm sure you will. The Mercury 7, I like the sheer. I like the shininess.
Yeah, I love the sheer. I love the shine.
Who doesn't like it, you know?
It's not just us that thinks this movie's awesome. The film was named number 12 most inspirational movie by the American Film Institute in 2006. And there's a few other ones here that I can't. Oh, the movie's line, "Houston, we have a problem," is voted number 50 in the movie American Film Institute out of 100. So it's right in the middle there.
But what's interesting about that list, the AFI Top 100, like whatever it is, scariest characters, but specifically quotes. Mm-hmm. What's nice about this one, I think it's important because it's actually important to the plot of the movie, which not all the quotes are. But also, Mark, like you said, you didn't even realize that it was from this movie. And that's how big the quote is when it transcends like pop culture. Where you just use it. That means you got a fucking huge 100% quote on you. You know 100%. What I mean?
Looking through my notes here, I might have found an answer for you about some of the spacesuits because the helmets were really being locked and oxygen was necessary to be pumped into the 180-pound airtight spacesuits. So those might have been $30,000 real spacesuits that they had on.
Well, Jesus, if you think about Christ. It, they really only had, as amazing as it was, like three sets.
Yeah,
you
know that's true.
So, like, you know, they were cutting back. And I don't want to be rude, but I'm sure Clint and Dad Howard weren't getting paid a shit ton in comparison.
Well, Ron Howard got the bag from Happy Days. So he's like, yeah, let's splurge on some spacesuits.
Yeah, why not? Sure.
Am I a NASA historian? No, but I'm going to take the word from Jim Lovell that they fucking nailed it. They just nailed it left and right.
Not even him. According to Ron Howard, Buzz Aldrin asked if NASA could use the footage from the launch to show new astronauts as a training thing.
It's comments like that that just make you think maybe it was fake, you know? Like, if you can fake it this easily, maybe, I don't know. That's
well, that's some good faking, Ron. To. We'd like to study this.
God, back that's real good faking. We should, we should get in on that.
Bill Paxton's line, "I could eat the ass out of a dead rhinoceros," was one not said by Fred Hayes. That was not from the transcript, but it came from Gary Busey, who was visiting the set that day. And Busey had previously said the line in Point Break, but apparently he said it on set. It was funny. Got in the film.
Nice.
Busey for the win.
Go back and listen to our Point Break episode.
Yeah, go check that out. So cool. Gary Busey was hanging out on set.
Oh, I do have as happy as Jim Lovell was with Tom Hanks' portrayal. I'll let you know when it comes to recasting who he saw.
Oh, yeah,
as playing him. I won't say it now.
Yeah, that's save it, teaser. Save it.
Stay tuned.
Well, on that note, do you guys want to move it on to questions,
comments?
I don't have any animosities, and I'm sure you don't either. But we'll throw it out there. You know, some animosities. I do. I do have some animosities.
QCA, just off the bat, comment, this is a great movie. And you always know it's great when, like, this is based on a true story. You know what happened, but it's still suspenseful and just action-packed the whole time that I'm on the edge of my seat, even though I know the outcome.
I couldn't disagree with that at all, but they did change some things to make it much more dramatic.
Sure, but I wouldn't know that. With some character tricks. I never knew that.
But what's so impressive about that is, even though dramatic things do happen, like the ship blows up, a lot of the actual scenes themselves is just movie making. It's sound and editing. They're pretty much just sitting in, you know,
three guys in a cabin. Yeah, the whole time, essentially.
The entire time. You cut back clear to Earth. The Mission Control's doing a bunch of stuff, and Miss Lovell's doing a bunch of stuff. What's the character's name?
Marilyn.
Marilyn's doing a lot of stuff, you know. She's holding down the house, but it's really just those guys being like, I don't know if this is gonna work, right? And then there you go. But it delivers. It's so good. It's so good.
Mission Control, like, they're all smoking cigs, right?
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
it just is just like
I saw a couple pipes in there. Some of it's cool. Some of it's cool.
aesthetically, the 60s coming to crash in the 70s. Man, we're about to like leave a beautiful costume and set design, and the 70s are about to hit us in the face, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I did have one note about Mission Control. Seems like a bunch of dads that just have their kids every other weekend, right? It seems like just a bunch of divorced guys
don't,
that just
don't,
have their
don't say no.
You didn't feel that about the crew?
No,
okay,
because
that's what I felt.
Jordan, no, because it's the 70s. We got a bunch of Jim Lovells who are just, I'm going to be gone for a month, honey. And then you know, they're gone.
That's yeah, yeah. Those guys are flying to the moon. The other guys are like in whatever Ken Manley's apartment complex is. You know what
Jordan,
I mean?
No, it's similar. They're just like, I'm going to be at Mission Control for a while. You know, it's just different version.
You're right. They don't have wives and children yet.
No, it's mad.
They're working on it.
Speaking of the times, though, God, I wish we had newscasters be trusted with great voices like Walter Cronkite. That's just, it makes the movie so much better, but it's funny just to think about, like, that's just the news. That's just how people were getting their information.
Yeah, they're just reporting. We don't have it.
Nobody was watching it.
No one cared. We'd done
it. No one cared. There was a Houston Astros game on at the same time. There was a I Love Lucy rerun on at the same time. Nobody was watching the space.
I did have a question about that.
Nobody was watching. It was
Apollo 11 landed, so it was just the second one after landing on the moon. They're like, we're good. We get it. I'm like, that seems pretty fucking quick, right? 1969.
Well, let me ask you this. Granted, this is drastically different because we're far removed from it now, but like, how many SpaceX launches have you been watching, you know?
That's true.
Well, I can guarantee you this.
Why are we not more infatuated with like space launches?
That was my other comment. I wish we still had great space aspirations and like a goal. Well, goal the Mars. We got to make Mars the goal.
We're going back to the moon.
Well, that's true. We are going back to the moon.
And I bet you'll tune into that on YouTube a couple days later. Yeah, we're literally.
China's already landed something there right now. Or
so that's I think all,
that's why we're going.
That's what
back,
it was. Really? Is like we wanted to beat Russia.
Mark brings up a good point. We need a country, but maybe one we're a little less hostile with. Let's get Australia to be like, oh, fuck us. We'll go to the moon. And then we'll just like battle Australia to the moon. Or they'll be like, oh, wankers, we're going to Mars.
Or no,
I'll see you on Mars.
You don't get to Mars in a friendly. You got to be against a rival. You know what I mean?
You're not going to push yourself. That's hilarious.
Well, I'm just trying to get us away from a Cold War, but still have some friendly competition.
Cameron, you don't progress unless there's a Cold War. As long as it's a Cold War, not World War III, nobody was doing space travel during World Wars. You know, we just need Cold War.
It was one of the head of the press, though, is like, so basically, why are we spending all this money to go back to the moon? And he's like,
well, they were scheduled.
They're in the books. What did Jim Lovell said? It was a good comment. It was like
the one where he's like, "We just decided to." It's like now man has landed on the moon. It's like,
what will we decide to do next? Something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that line. We've talked about this a million times, but I feel like it is the biggest comment to talk about. And now we're in this section, but it is just crazy how well the effects have held up. So I'll just counter to you: what do you think the worst scene is, effects wise? It's probably just the actual launch, right? Because that's the most CGI.
Yeah. I mean, just by the nature of the way it looks. I don't know. I guess they're all pretty equal to me. It doesn't take me out, but I would say for the level it's at in 95 in comparison to a lot of other movies, and I'd say the other one of this time period that holds up as well or bad is Jurassic Park, probably, right? That's what's held up. But I think that this one does better.
And in 2 years,
relies less on it.
Remember, in 2 years, we have Titanic that has CGI that has not held up. That people at the time were like, look at that ship. Look how good this looks. So,
yeah,
crazy.
Would you ride the Vomit Comet?
Yeah, it's a NASA ship. Sure. I'm pretty confident that, you know, they know what they're doing. So, like, I'm not too worried about that.
No, I'm not worried about that. But, like, oh, my God. Like, you're.
Well, here's the thing. It's the only time I'm going to feel what it. I'm not going to be an astronaut. I'm not going to space. So, it's my only chance to be Superman and fly. So, yeah, I'd do it. I'd definitely do it. I might throw up.
This movie made me want to be an astronaut so bad, and even within watching the movie, I knew that math was important, and I pivoted to be like, I really want to go to space camp, which I haven't done, and I hear they do it for adults now, but I don't want to go to space camp.
Yeah,
now.
When I was 8 years old, I was like, yeah, astronaut, that's it. Like,
I don't want to learn anything at adult space camp. I just want to go in all the different simulators. We all just want to spin around.
I
want to
wear a jumpsuit and do the fun stuff.
I didn't know the math was involved.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna. If you're telling me there's adult NASA camp, I'm guessing there's, you know, the fun and nerdy kind where you can skip. Or I'm definitely just doing the machine.
If you're willing to pay. But now that SpaceX and all that stuff, like, I'll sign up for it when it gets affordable.
Did you really though? Did you want to be an astronaut because of this movie ever?
Oh yeah, for sure. This movie came out when I was like a fourth grader. I know you guys were like a little bit younger, so it didn't like resonate in the same way. I'm like, this movie is so fucking awesome at the time.
It did. And maybe it was the math too, but for some reason I just never thought of my, I'm not, astronaut was just never for me. I was more of an oceaneer at the time, if you recall. Marine biologist.
Way scarier.
Now I'm terrified of the ocean.
It was almost these movies that turned me off. Like, I wanted to be an astronaut. That's and then, true. Like, I saw this movie, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
yeah. You're rarely seeing a good job, great story.
I myself am not a lover of movies set in space, like the science fiction aspect. Like, but any movie that's built around the early days of NASA, I love that genre so much. And this is probably the pinnacle of it.
Because it's romanticizing, it's fun, and it's the heyday of it.
Mark, you're more, you really like the, what's the early, the Mercury days, those crew you like?
The Right Stuff.
You like The Right Stuff, right?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Would you compare that, which one do you think is a little bit?
Gus Grissom, know? like the breaking the sound barrier, like that's.
Yeah. A little bit earlier than this, like the Mercury people, like when they were in.
Crazy. Those people were crazy. They just didn't know anything.
Oh, yeah. I will say, as I've gotten older, I held astronauts. Well,
all these people were crazy. Jim Lowe, like they were
Mavericks, Renaissance men, and like their wives, like Marilyn's, yes, like, yes, man, yes. This is a real bummer. Aren't you done with the space shit?
Nope.
Like, I'm not coming to the launch. I don't want to watch you die. And that's actually a big topic of the movie. At what point you're like, guys, I don't want to watch my husband or my dad die with a group. Can you please just exit my house? And on top of that, here's a big question for the son.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are you going to make your son watch his dad die with his whole class?
That's
Why don't you at least get him in an office?
That's my biggest animosity.
Get him out of the room.
Biggest animosity of the entire movie. If my dad is in peril to the fact that it's on the news and we're having like a minute-to-minute update, I'm going home. Call me
the
out
Pope's
of class.
The praying for you. Like, they're watching in Moscow. They've got mosque praying for you. Get them home.
I'm not staying at boarding military school while this is going on. And and to Jordan's point, I'm sure shit not watching with everybody else. Yeah. I'm gonna have a public breakdown, and everyone's gonna be like,
"The teacher like slap, like kind of like patting him on the, like." Yeah.
That's
all right. Now that's over, turn to page 5. We've got to catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been wasting all this time watching. Kevin's dad almost died.
That's a pat on the back that says, "Saw your dad's about to die, son."
Sorry, it looks like it's not too good.
It's either. Not looking good.
That was a big animosity. He's got it the worst. Marilyn, you don't want to entertain. Get everybody out of my house. Like, I'm good.
Drop off your casserole, drop off your dish, but get off my property.
Shut off the TV, but like also you kind of want the TV back on.
Well, you assume
she's got the radio.
I want news from NASA. Yeah, I want that up to date. Would you be listening to the flight control stuff though? Could you handle that? That might be a little too much. Just get like actually hearing the talk between my husband.
Oh,
and
no, I wouldn't want to do that at all. Because then it's like, do I want to hear when my husband dies?
Yeah,
or my spouse? Like, I'm good. Like,
if I'm Marianne Lovell and I hear Houston, we got a problem. I'm like, yeah, shut that shit.
He's
off.
Dead. He's dead.
He's gone. Dead. He's definitely dead.
Yeah.
Oh, even though we should feel sympathetic for him,
God.
When the son's like, "Is it the door?" I'm like, get away! I'm done with this kid in the story. And I don't know what the actual kid is like, but the actor, he was in like he was
the 90s
of
kid,
Full House and stuff. I didn't like him then, and I don't like him in the movie. I'm on him. He's probably our age. We're probably
he's probably.
Hey, Fred Hayes. He's like fucking around in the back,
Oh, that's not cool. When he's like stirring the tanks, and then the ship jumps and goes do. You warned me before anything like that happens.
Do not fuck around like that, like Fred, bro. We're not doing that. We're not doing that, Fred.
Also, have you been in space before? If anybody gets to do it, it's Jim. Jim's been up here a lot.
And
he gets
last
to play
one.
The jokes.
But even Jim's probably like, he's like, yeah, that's fucked up.
Hey, let's not do that. Let's not joke like that.
No bangs.
Are you superstitious at all to the fact that like would being on flight 13 or like flying on the 13th bother you at all?
No, I'm not a child.
Okay. Well, didn't work out good for them.
No.
How do you feel when you go to an elevator and it goes from 12 to 14? Are you one of those people who can't count?
Do you know when the flight was supposed to... It actually launched. It was...
I thought it launched on Friday the 13th, Apollo 13.
Friday the 13th at 1:13, which is, in military time, 13:13.
Well, they're just asking for it. It seems like they were trying to summon the devil with this launch.
What are we doing?
That seems excessive.
That's crazy.
I'll tell you what I would be superstitious about or have questions about. And
I'm a little superstitious. I'm not superstitious.
Just a little. I'm not superstitious at all.
I believe a lot of wacky things, but I don't know. I don't know if I believe in a lot of superstitions.
One thing that would give me cause, and this is if I'm Marilyn or anybody, they scrubbed. They replaced the pilot of your ship. Like 3 days before, you'd be like, oh, that seems like...
No, we're not going.
And once again, we've learned that he was a great pilot. But yeah, would that worry you? Would you bow out? I mean...
From all accounts, they weren't worried about it because the backup crew, albeit depicted in the movie, like they were just smoking doobies in the back and like slapping ass. They're like, what? We got to fly these planes too?
Kevin Bacon was like so like egregious. He was like not even like that good of a pilot. Like...
Yeah.
That's crazy. No, we're not going. We're not going. Yeah, we're not call going.
Me, call me crazy, but one of those backup teams, was he Wolfman, the bass player from That Thing You Do? The one that says,
I'm not
all
positive
right.
that he was, but I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
And now that we know that, you know,
it's a connected
this
universe.
This is around the time when Tom Hanks could get what he wanted. Maybe could have been Wolfman.
If I'm in the simulator and we mess up 2 days before we go.
Yeah.
That's no, like,
we're good. As depicted in the movie, I think it's irresponsible to leave the choice up to Jim Lovell. It's like, I'm pretty sure I want to go to the moon, so put whoever you want in the pilot seat because I can fly this.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would have been like, we're scrubbing it.
Yeah.
We're pushing it back. It's unbelievable that they allow the choice up
Well, they scrubbed the entire other, like, the actual mission just because one guy's sick. So, like,
ear infection.
Hold on. Was he not even sick? Wasn't that a thing?
That's Gary Sinise's character, but like were replacing.
Is that bullshit? Like, was he actually?
No, because I think he really did help out, like largely. Like that was pretty accurate.
No, I know he helped out, but like, was he really?
No,
sick?
He didn't. I don't think he got.
I don't think
the
he ever got
that's
sick.
That's fucked. That's so fucked.
Because I think the risk was that he was exposed to someone who had the measles. So like.
Well, fucking Bill Paxton got sick as fuck up there.
I do have a question about that. I've written that down. I've actually, every time I watch it, Bill Paxton doesn't have the measles. He's just reacting to the circumstances worse than everybody.
Yes, CO2.
Like a space cold or something.
Nope. Actually, here's what, you know how he says,
hold on.
I think Swaggart gave me the clap. He said it would actually happen to see.
Did he really?
He got transmitted disease
from peeing
in the clap.
That's the joke he makes, but in real life, he got a urinary tract infection and got sick because they have to pee.
No way.
I read it and it said there's like a condom like sleeve you have to put over your penis when you pee in space in the tube, and apparently that gave him the UTI and he got sick.
Can I just say, Bill?
Oh, so he just had a UTI. That's why he was so sick, or that's what I was supposed to take from that?
In real life, yes.
You're not getting me to do anything. I'm that sick. Like,
okay. Oh,
no. Sorry, guys. I'm done.
And then that's
for the most part, it did look like his job was to not die.
Yeah.
And that's what he was doing. It's like, you just stay in the corner and continue to not die. Like, we're going to take it from here.
Just stay alive.
I mean, they didn't give him many responsibilities. It didn't seem like one stuff, you know. Push came to shove, right?
Do you think it's kind of crazy that there haven't been more space disasters? I mean, we have that Door 1 Challenger and then this one, but like...
Why are we not going
to
the
moon? Yeah, but having that
American
said...
American space disasters, I should say.
Can I?
Having that said, this is out of... Let's just ballpark it 30 launches. Three of them were pretty bad publicly.
True. And we're also not... We don't know what happened in Russia and the countless astronauts. They just shot up there and left.
Here's what we really don't know. When they were shooting up like dogs, they didn't make it home.
No, that's the whole point.
When Tom Hanks was like, they're like, hey, look out the window. That's where we're supposed to land. He's like, I've seen it.
I'm still going to look.
I thought that was like, I know you're going through your emotions, Jim.
Yeah, you're pretty close.
This is gonna be the last time, right?
Yeah, like maybe take a little peek out the window.
You know who my favorite? You know who my favorite Mission Control guy is outside of Clint Howard, just for the aesthetic of it. Hmm. It's that one guy who they're like, is the lunar module? He's like, that's not what we did it. And he's like, I don't want to get blamed for shit. And he wouldn't give him an answer.
Oh,
I like that guy. Yeah.
Relatable, huh?
You're saying that guy right there gets his kids on the weekdays.
No, Jordan, he just doesn't come home during the week. That's what's happening.
No way that guy gets his kids on the week. All right, if that's what you say.
I have a question, I think mostly for Mark, just because I'm getting a vibe. Do you believe the space program is real? Do you believe we've been to the moon?
Yeah, quick yes.
Should we do 2001 Space Odyssey after this and just wrap it all up and see what we think? I mean...
No.
Maybe.
That's a lot. That's like a bigger deal.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to do a little research.
Just a side note, and if you haven't seen this movie as freshly as we have, they threw a party for the moon landing, right, at the beginning?
Yeah.
Marilyn says, I don't want to clean up. Can we just...
I believe she says, can we just sell the house and move away or something to that extent?
I say sell it. Just get out of there. I got questions about how they depict Gary Sinise's character.
Sure.
Love what he does. Powerful work for the story, but when he's like, if they don't sleep, I don't sleep, I'm like, that's dumb, Ken. You should be sleeping. We need you. They can't sleep. We need you guys sharp down here. Down here, it's not your time. Like, take a nap if you're tired.
We'll if I'm Mission Control, I'm definitely clocking out at my shift. I'm like, well, I worked my 9 to 5, guys, so like...
I'll maybe tune in, but I'm going to try to not think about it, you know? And then he's just back at the Ken Mannion Lee apartment complex, just living
throwing back some whiskeys, just by himself in a bare apartment that he's never decorated.
Ken handled it right, though. Turn off the TV, unplug the phone, and take your beers and just go, be depressed.
Crawl into bed.
Wouldn't that be great? It's like, I am off hours right now. They are not going to need me at all. And then they need you? That's a bummer.
Okay, granted, this comment here is just coming from the fact that most of the, as Mark said, space movies we see are disasters. But I just would want to wear my helmet and the full space suit 24/7 while I'm in space. If anything happens, I get sucked out. I want full coverage.
I thought about that, and I think Megs brought that up to me. You're not going to live if you get outside the plane, the spaceship.
No.
Just die right away. Like, I don't want to... What do you want to do out there? Just
would it be that bad?
Out,
no way asphyxiating? And like, because wouldn't camera. You just essentially fall asleep floating weightlessly? It might be the best sleep I've ever had. Mark, you know the scene you love when they're all putting off the gloves
yes.
and stuff? And have, yeah,
right.
I'm sitting there just looking forward completely.
He's not taking off his helmet.
No, I'm staying in it the whole time. And especially after the bang, I'm going to be like, see, guys, this is why we do it.
Like, you want to prolong
well, then,
it?
So, yeah, scenario to you then. Would you rather just...
You want to take your helmet off on your terms.
No, I don't want to take it off. I just want to float into space, then slowly my oxygen depletes, I fall asleep.
You want to suffocate? And choke to death?
Is it that choky, or do you just kind of pass out?
It's a little bit choky.
Movies have taught me you cough when the CO2 levels are getting high. Mm-hmm. I don't know how accurate that is, but yeah, I just want to cough like George Clooney in Gravity, just floating off to my death alone, looking at the stars.
Oh, I got a question. Okay, so you do get outside the ship, right?
Yes.
And you can still breathe. Knowing that you won't be able to swim back to Earth, are you going to try a little? Just give it a... Oh, yeah, I'm just stuck here.
I mean, you're doing this. Yeah.
No, I'm going to enjoy it like I'm in a float tank, kicking off the walls and playing with this weird experience, but ready for death, waiting for it. Yeah.
Just wait. I just assume get sucked out and die right away, right? You know?
No, because like, I don't want to freeze and like have my blood boil in a second.
I think
like,
it's immediate, though.
I think it's a couple seconds. I don't think it's immediate.
I don't think suffocating in your spacesuit. It's not immediate.
Yeah, you're just in a vacuum. I think it's just real cold. You start to freeze, and then you just.
I think we're just splitting hairs. You want to go, and you know your way, and I'll go my way.
That's fair. I'm going George Clooney way.
Oh, I do have a question. This actually is a big question.
Okay. Yep.
After, so Tom Hanks is talking to Mission Control. And he's like, hey, we really like to, you know,
get a
the
flight
Earth's
plan.
Getting awful big in the window. So
yes,
you get us that flight plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Mission Control's like, we've got Ken Mannion on it. And Tom Hanks' character goes, you've got Ken on it. Is he happy or is he like, oh, fuck, they don't have it figured out because Ken's working on it?
I think also just happy, like, oh, it's Ken. Ken will figure it out.
See, that's how I interpret it. And it always have is like, good, Ken's got our back. Mm-hmm. But Megan pointed out to me, and if you rewatch it, I think it actually might mean that, oh, no, they don't have it figured out for us yet because they're not telling us. And they pulled out Ken, who definitely has the measles and is pissed at me, to come back and work on this.
Okay, Jordan, I have a question for you then. So you want to die quickly in space. If you, okay, so they're worried about the reentry and the yes, heat shield being cracked. Yes, if yes, you yes. knew that it was cracked in reentry, you're going to die, would you rather jump out, like open the door, or just...
You want to go... The question I have on the reentry is sort of covered in gravity as everything goes wrong. It seems like... I guess at the time it was the best way for reentry. But there's got to be a lot that could go wrong with landing in the ocean, right?
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, what if water gets
you,
in?
You just see it's like going sinking. Like, oh no.
We're going down. Well, I'll tell you what. All right, now we're posing this question. We're space versus ocean.
Okay.
Don't
say the lunar module does go below the ocean. Do not
compare space versus ocean.
That's what we're doing.
They're comparable. Okay.
Do you want to die in space versus under the sea, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be pretty pissed off if, like, we're slowly sinking. I'm like, oh, great. The pressure's about to explode us.
That's not what I wanted. It is pretty raw how they make Swigger look like he's not up to the task to be a pilot, but it is pretty cool that they make him such a player.
That's true.
That guy gets what appears to be ladies.
Yeah, that's true. If they make a documentary and they make me a dumb fuck who's bad at his job, at least I'm a cool ladies man who has...
Yeah, that guy brought Clap to space. Going back to the Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, I assume this is accurate to what happened, but if I'm those two... One, you would assume that Mission Control would be like, hey, we could use all the help we could get. Mm-hmm. Can you be part of this? I'm not going to hang out with their dementia mother. I'm like, we're good.
No.
You throw the priest on that one, or the reverend or whatever.
She doesn't even know who they are. So, like, what's the point? Like, I'm not...
Why are you wasting us that day little off?
Bit, that little bit was funny.
I can tell you what I'm never doing. This is depicted so many times in movies. And I know that New York's a tough place to live. But I'm never going to watch any news, any world event in Times Square. No. I'm just not going to do it. It's not where I'm going. Even in the 70s, even in 1970, when it was probably harder, I tune into the radio before I go to Times Square to watch something.
Here's the scenario. You don't have a TV, and you're already in Times Square. That's the only time I'm going to stop to be like, what?
Yeah, but if you're in Times Square, you're like, that's right.
We should get inside. We should get back to the hotel.
I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of Times Square. I forgot that this is where people watch news sometime. I don't know if that's accurate.
This is a great movie. We love it. It's why we're doing it. Let us know some of your favorite things from this movie, some fun things from the cast, anything you want out there. But we're going to move it on to recasting. Recasting. We're going to start off low here. I'm going to throw a wild card at you guys. I also did Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard, just because,
notable.
I'll do one off the cuff.
Steve Buscemi. That's all I'm throwing out.
Okay, that's who I was going to say. Once Steve Buscemi is, okay.
That's crazy. That's perfect.
Hear me out. Maybe Paul Giamatti randomly too, but that's all I got.
That's perfect, dude. I love it.
Paul Giamatti would be the guy that's like, don't blame me if it doesn't work. That's not what we designed it for. That's Paul Giamatti.
Okay, I'm fine with that. With that throwaway, let's move it on to Marilyn.
Marilyn.
The wife. Who do you guys have for that?
I love mine for some reason. Mm-hmm. I did Marissa Tomei.
Totally thought of that.
I don't know why. I actually really like this.
I think she'd be good. Because she was my second pick. I did Linda Carlini. My grandma's house or whatever. Yes. She's in Scooby-Doo movies. You guys know who she is.
She's Velma. She's Velma. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
I didn't have one, but off the cuff, I'm going to say Billy Crystal's daughter from 61 who plays the wife. Give me 3 seconds to find her name. Wow.
No way we're going to get her name.
No, yeah. My internet's going so slow,
Jordan, we won.
We won that. I mean, Cameron lost for sure.
Cameron lost.
He forfeited, actually.
He
didn't even try.
That's what it was.
With that, let's move it on to the director. Let's go on to Ed Harris. I kind of like mine, Bryan Cranston. No, nothing. Oh, anybody? Dude, anybody?
No, I'm thinking it through.
That's fucking perfect.
Thank you.
Current
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's really good.
And you could also tell me any of the astronauts, and I'd be fine with that as well. He does play an astronaut in That Thing You Do. He's on the talk show at the end as an astronaut, which might be my crossover, How I Got Incepted.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You are right.
I have Dennis Quaid. Younger Dennis Quaid.
I have him somewhere else. You'll see.
Okay.
Oh, you do. Gosh, I'm trying to pull the trigger because the person I'm about to say I have in
just
two places.
Just pull it, dude. Pull it.
Okay, fine. Michael Keaton is the one I wasn't going to do. I think it's a good Michael Keaton role. I know I've been using him a lot lately, but I see it.
I have him somewhere else as an option.
I feel like Michael Keaton.
I am going to come back to this.
Cameron may have won that.
I think so.
Won that role.
But I am going to come back because the other person I had another person who I was maybe going to use for that Harris role. I have him recast, so let me know now. No, but I do want to voice it for later.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Gary Sinise character who gets replaced. Jordan, I have to give you a little bit of credit for this. You incepted me, but Bill Pullman.
Ooh. Okay, you just did like... did I say Bill Pullman somewhere throughout the line?
No, but for some reason, those are two people our family really like, Gary Sinise and Bill Pullman. And you were talking about that the other day, and I just thought that wouldn't be terrible.
No, and I think that would work.
Independence Day, he's the president.
He's in Newsies. He's the only reporter. Yeah,
the only adult.
He's in Spaceballs. Go back and listen to our Spaceballs. Go back and listen to our, another Bill Pullman movie.
Not a ton.
Okay, I'm going to go, I don't know if mine's that great. I felt like Mark Ruffalo could kind of play that character.
I can see that.
It's not my most inspired one for sure, but... I do think he'd do a serviceable job.
I have a worse one when we're all done. Mark, you haven't gone yet, right?
McConaughey.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good. Actually.
I actually have McConaughey somewhere else as an option. So I could see him as one of the astronauts for sure. I like
McConaughey.
That.
McConaughey. Yep.
Do you want to know a random? I had Hugh Jackman in here just with an American accent, but I don't know. Let's move on to Bill Paxton.
I am so all over the place.
That's Fred Hayes, right? Fred Hayes.
That's Fred Hayes.
Okay,
yeah.
Fred Hayes.
I have a few options here.
Damn.
You know what, Mark? This is where I would have put my Dennis Quaid, maybe, because I think Bill Paxton and Dennis Quaid are kind of the same person a little bit. But sure. Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't see that. It's too leading man-like for it.
Okay, that's okay. Let me take that back and throw in my Dennis Quaid.
No, that's all he gets.
I'm going with my Dennis Quaid then.
I want to go back. I'm going to tell you who I have for Fred Hayes, but I'm going to tell you where I'm going to move him to.
Okay, go for it.
I got Barry Pepper as Fred Hayes.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
But I actually think I want him. I actually think I want him as Ken Manningly.
They would make more sense for Ken. Barry Pepper from Saving Private Ryan 61.
Barry Pepper is in this movie somewhere.
I don't know if it's every role.
I could see it. The Ken Mattingly, actually, that makes the most sense. Just
hear me out. Could he also be G in the Ed Harris role? Because Barry Pepper's in here somewhere.
No.
I just can't figure it out.
Barry Pepper is
he's Ken.
Capcom. He's calm.
I like it though. I like him somewhere in there.
He's on controls.
Mark, who else? Did you just throw yours in there?
I did Fred Ward.
Okay. Yeah, from Tremors, he's the other person across.
Oh,
from.
Yeah.
Basically, I looked at The Right Stuff, and I'm like, let's just.
And he's in it.
Yeah.
Can I give you one more that I kind of like here, but you can tell me if I'm way off?
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson.
I thought about Woody Harrelson. Yeah.
He's in there too. He's in there.
God,
he's somewhere in this movie. He is.
So close to having the lineup, but I've got the players. I just don't have the lineup.
Yeah, the players are in there, but the game's not there.
All right.
Hear me out. I also this is where I would have put McConaughey.
I get that too, but I
where are you? Hold on, Cameron. Where are you putting McConaughey
for the Paxton role?
He's on the ship. You're right.
He's on the ship.
Let's move it on to Swaggart, the Kevin Bacon role. I have three, and I don't love any of them. I'm going Bradley Cooper.
This was the hardest one for me.
That's not a bad one. I didn't say it at the beginning, but I agree. This one was very hard.
I don't like that, though.
You don't like Bradley Cooper?
I don't like Bradley Cooper there.
I get what you're doing. He plays like the young whippersnapper
He's the cocky one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did Aaron Eckhart.
Someone, he kind of feels like he fits somewhere too.
Like, necessarily like that either. It might just be because we did The Dark Knight.
Yeah, so. you got incepted by The Dark Knight.
Mine's actually incepted by Cameron's been using them, and I have liked it, and I don't think this is great either, did Ethan Hawke. Okay. No, I'm not doing
John. Oh, I can see Ethan Hawke. I can see Ethan Hawke.
We all got incepted by like past
a little episode. Bit.
Yeah, I think Cameron wins that one. I think he does.
Okay, now we're on to the Tom Hanks level character.
I love mine.
I like all three of mine, so I don't know where to go here.
I'll go first because I don't like mine. I did George Clooney.
Okay. Gravity, I mean, he does astronaut well.
He's charismatic. He can play dramatic. I think he's just sometimes his handsomeness
gets in the way.
And his charm doesn't work all the time in real settings.
Jordan, I think you're going to like mine. Kevin Costner.
Okay, I was going to say him. He's on my short list.
It seems like a Costner.
He's your number one?
My gym level is Kevin Costner.
Okay.
Fuck. And you know what? That was my number one, too. My number one, but I didn't want to be the guy that says Kevin Costner all the time.
Well, Jordan, my second was Michael Keaton. But do you know what
I thought about him for sure there, too. I think there's Kevin a lot of transferable.
Dude. No.
Kevin Costner's number one.
Costner, Keaton were, hear me out, though. My first one that I eventually got these better ones from, I was going to say Chris Pratt. And I do use him kind of a lot, but I don't know.
I don't feel that one.
Yeah, can't win
them all. You know who Chris Pratt is? Kevin Swagger.
He'd be Swagger, yeah.
That makes more sense.
Because he's like goofy and a little more whatever. Jim Lovell is like, man, Tom Hanks knocked out of the park, but I saw myself as Kevin Costner, so that's who he said it. So I agree, it's a Costner thing too, and Costner I should have just said it. Damn it.
Do you want to hear two weird what ifs, kind of? Well, this would have been for the role of Fred Hayes, the Bill Paxton role, but they reached out to John Cusack and Charlie Sheen for Fred Hayes. Can't see either.
Here's the deal. You say that now, but I bet at the time they were younger.
Yeah. Would have been fine.
It would have been fine. Yeah. It would have been okay.
Well, that was our recasting for this week. Let us know what you thought. Send in your own as well. We want to know what you think out there. But we're going to move it on to Mount Rushmore Top 4.
Mount Rushmore Top 4.
Mount Rushmore Top 4. This week, we are doing movies based on a true story. And we were trying to lean, I think, towards movies that were actually based on a true story, not just like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre being based off Ed Gein loosely. Am I correct in assuming this?
Yeah. You're
correct.
Sure. Okay.
This week, okay, well, it looks like some people are updating their list on the fly. This week, we're going to go me, Jordan, Mark. I'm between a lot, but I wanted to keep it a little bit more fun when a lot of them are serious, sad. But Disney's Miracle, the hockey movie.
Oh, no.
Damn. That's where you went? That's crazy.
That's where I went.
Yeah, I mean, that is incredible. That's easy one.
I tried to keep it light. Go back and see Miracle. We have done it, but I love that movie. I really do.
Mm-hmm. I think I was true to myself here. A movie that's based off real stories that I didn't know the story. Based off a real character that I loved. One of the movies I watched the most growing up, like in my young adulthood or like teenagers, it's Catch Me If You Can. I loved that movie as a kid. It's based off a story I didn't know was true, albeit completely fabricated, it finds out.
It does seem pretty not true, but
Does that count?
That's Cameron? I don't know. It's definitely riding a line there because we know it not to be very true.
I'll pivot another one, Jordan.
That's been fabricated because I definitely thought this.
No. You
save it for honorable mentions. Save it for honorable mentions.
No, he's
now.
About to. He's about
Passion
to.
Passion of the Christ.
Little Mermaid. Right now.
Mark, right, we'll go to you. Then we'll let Jordan rant off whatever his real answer is.
Well, if we're doing this, like.
No, we're not.
Titanic.
No, we're not doing that. Shut up. Give me your real answer.
Titanic is my fucking real answer.
Okay, well, Titanic and Pearl Harbor are off.
All right. Stop. It's still Titanic.
let it be. That's his answer, Cameron. It really did ship. Molly Brown really got off the ship, Cameron.
Just to be clear, you could have done Schindler's List, 12 Years a Slave. Let's see.
I wasn't going to.
Glory, but
obviously
you chose
Schindler's
Titanic.
List should have been mentioned, but nobody's like, oh, it's a one and doneer.
Yeah. And what did you pick, Jordan?
I picked Catch You If You Can. I picked a romp. I did not want. Okay, so now honorable mentions. Cameron, the two sports movies I thought about but didn't say was Remember the Titans, even though that's wildly fabricated as well.
Yeah.
And then A League of Their Own. I think they made up the characters, well. So I didn't know if I should put that on there.
Yeah, I thought about that as well. I mean, a lot of them are sad, just like, I mean, or uplifting, like The Pursuit of Happiness, kind of sad. I mean,
did we talk about the Blind Side?
No, that's another one that's also fairly fabricated as
very
well.
Very fabricated.
It's apparently very fabricated.
Which is the hard thing about some of these is just actually, you know, finding the truth.
Well, like Saving Private Ryan's great, but that's an amalgamation and like it's not a straight representation. So yeah, I didn't say that, but obviously that's great. There's so many war movies that
you could have done Hacksaw Ridge on Broken.
Hacksaw Ridge is great, and I didn't know that story. Glory is great. There's so many like war movies are great, but I didn't want to do a war movie. Passion of the Christ, take it or leave it. I leave it, but supposedly that's based off true stories as well. Here's one I did want for you, Cameron. Where's Memphis Belle? Is that a good movie?
Oh, no, but it is a good movie for us. Memphis Belle.
Memphis Belle was kind of on the list for me. I actually like your Miracle, but I think you missed a spot, and the real answer is Remember the Titans.
Yeah, but
do you like Miracle better than Remember the Titans?
No, but because obviously we think Remember the Titans was a little fabricated. It just didn't seem real enough.
they did a little more fabrication.
We're missing things like biopics, like Lincoln, Darkest Hour, some of those like Oscar.
Left off biopics because even though they are based on true events, I feel like it's a different. It's telling a life. It's not telling a story. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm gonna throw one out that Mark's gonna like. That again, I'm not sure how true, but Moneyball. And I feel like kind of under that also The Wolf of Wall Street.
I mean, there's so many good movies in this one. I just picked one that was true to me. Cameron picked one that's true to him, and you gotta lay off him. Mark picked one that was in his heart, and his heart will go on.
That's true.
Like, that's what he said. It really you tell me the Titanic didn't happen now? Are we that conspiracist? Because some billionaires went looking for it recently.
Obviously, a lot of historical ones as well were missing, just like Selma, Hidden Figures. Oh, do you want to actually a good one? Did you guys ever check out The Death of Stalin a few years back?
Mm-mm.
It's a dark comedy. It follows like the power grab immediately following Stalin's death, but... Give The Death of Stalin a try if you haven't seen it. Steve Buscemi.
Text it to me because I'll definitely forget it.
It's funny, though. It's a dark comedy. Give that a go. I mean, a Beautiful Mind, The Theory of Anything, really every Oscar crab movie kind of that's nonfiction. So, I mean.
So, as I'm looking through lists now, something I would have never thought of, but I'm just going to bring it up because I like the movie. King's Speech.
Oh, actually, I love The King's Speech.
I like that movie.
King's Speech.
Good movie. The topic I don't care about at all. Who cares if a royal stumbles and mumbles over words? I could give a shit, but I really like the movie. Oh, your brother sympathizes with Nazis? I don't care, you dirty royal.
No, what sucks is it's 3 hours long.
Nope. It's one of my favorite things. And I assume Seabiscuit's somewhat based off of reality.
Oh, Seabiscuit. The Aviator. I never saw J. Edgar, but you know what? And Jordan's right. This is going to go on forever. There's so many biopics and movies. This was our list. Let us know what you thought of our Mount Rushmore this week. Also, let us know what some of yours would be. But thanks for listening to our take of Apollo 13. If you like what you heard, make sure you like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. If you want more content, check out the entire Majestic Jam Network, Urban Hermit, Cult Classics, that's this one we're doing now, I'm Not Crazy Podcast, and the High Wire Podcast.
And here, you're going to hate this. This is Cult Classics Podcast, Emission Control.
Signing off.
Signing off.
We'll check in the next one.